We're going to read again this morning from 2 Timothy chapter 1, I believe it is, verses 8 through 10.
Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Now this will be the third along the line of what we've termed the incorruptible or heaven's standard of measure. I believe that we've entered into what the Bible would call the last days, maybe been in them since Calvary, the last 2 days of time, as far as days actually in God's measurement is concerned. But from our side, from man's side, I believe that certainly we must have come to the end of an age. God is fixing to bring this thing to a close, whether today or tomorrow or next year. I can't tell, but I do feel that things are moving toward a climax. And one of the main things that God desires to do in this hour is to bring his church into line with his calling and his purpose. That simply means that you and I individually, it is the will and the purpose of God to bring us into line with all of this. And for that to happen, we've got to understand something of how God measures things. Now, we've said that nothing means anything to God except that which cannot be corrupted. Last week, we were shown how we, as God's people, have been given a life that cannot be corrupted. We took it all away from the book of Genesis, the tree of life, right on through the Bible, demonstrating the incorruptibility of this life. Since it cannot be corrupted, it cannot die. We have then the possibility of walking in God in an incorruptible life, or walking in ourselves. This gives us a meaning what the Bible means when it said, he that committeth sin is of the devil. That which is born of God cannot sin. So when you sin, you're moving and reverting back to the old life. But if we walk in the Spirit, which is this incorruptible life, the Bible said we'll not fulfill the lusts or the desires of the flesh. Now, we saw this life demonstrated in Christ in the Gospels, then given to us with the new birth. Now I want to look at this third lesson in this, what I've called the extra of heaven. Now, the incorruptible characteristics of the life of the Lord Jesus is what I'll be calling here the plus or the other of heaven. And I'll make that very plain as we go along, because we have already shown through the Bible that those incorruptible characteristics of his life are to appear in our lives. They are to be made good in us. That's what Christianity is all about. It isn't just becoming religious and doing certain things, but those characteristics of the incorruptible are to appear and be made good in we who have been born of God. So we talk about the plus or other of heaven. You've no doubt been impressed as you've read the gospel with the frequency with which the word heaven was on the lips of Jesus. You can't read the gospels without taking note of this. He spoke of the kingdom of heaven. Heaven. Heaven was a real thing to him. He talked about it. It was on his lips. Look it up again. Get a fresh impression from his constant reference to heaven and his relationship to the place called heaven. You read the Gospels, this takes a hold of you. Now, the reference in Christ's case indicated three things, or maybe we ought to say three aspects of one thing. First, there was his own personal background. The background against which he lived and moved was heaven. Can you say amen? He laid aside something to come here. And the background against which Christ worked was heaven. All of this, you had to take note of that all along the line, that the background which he lived and moved was heaven. Secondly, there was this extra to his life. This thing we're calling extra. And to this life and this world, it was something which to him was a great plus to life, a great extra to everything here. And then thirdly, to him, it was a great and a wonderful difference. Now, we'll take this into these three aspects of things, but you keep those in mind. Now, there were these things then about Jesus as Son of Man, so that when you met him, when in the gospel just reading, or when those that were alive in that time met him on a face-to-face confrontation as to man, it was impossible to feel that you'd met everything. Now, this is what I'm talking about, the extra. You can't meet Jesus face-to-face without coming away from there, without with a feeling that there's something here more than met the eye. This is the extra. Isn't that right? You just can't talk about Jesus or read about him in the Gospels, and certainly those that met him moved away from him with this feeling that there's a lot more to him. You meet me and talk with me, or I meet you and talk with you, and we visit a little, and we'll come away pretty well feeling we know that person. I mean, we can know all there is about a human being. But there was something about him different as Son of Man that everybody that come in contact with him walked away with this sense, we've met something here that cannot be explained. There's an extra here, the extra of heaven. Now, there's some people whom you meet, and that's all. That's all there is to it. It was never so with Jesus. If you met him, you would have immediately met something more than the ordinary. You'd also been left with a consciousness that there's something very much more than I've touched or seen in this man Jesus. There's a factor about this life that didn't like meeting just ordinary human beings. He became a man. He walked the earth as a man. He operated as a man, the Son of Man. But there was an extra factor of that life that could not be explained in human terms. That's very simple, but I believe that helps us toward this whole matter of the incorruptible, because that was the thing, that was the incorruptible thing about him, the thing that would abide, the fact that he did not put all his goods in the window, so to speak. Something there. I can tell you one of the great wonders of eternity will be learning Christ through it all. Through the entirety of eternity, one of the major factors of it will be, I'll be learning Christ. We'll have been there a million years. There'll be something about him we still won't know. The greatness, the wonder, the beauty, the glory of this Christ. Now, all who have met him, whether it was there physically or now in a spiritual sense, including all down through the ages, who have met him were conscious of something. There was there of a vast and profound fullness and depth that left a mighty impress upon those that have met him. I can tell you, I met him 37 years ago. My life was so impressed that the driving force of my life regardless of whatever else I've did, the one outstanding thing that I've wanted for 37 years was to know him. That's the main force of life. I worked at a job before as a preacher. I've been an evangelist. I've been a pastor. I've been both of them. All of this in the course of life and in the call of God. But the overriding factor, I was impressed by a man 37 years ago. And it isn't been what he'd done for me, but he himself that has been the moving factor of my life. I've come to the point, the prayer meetings to pray. Yesterday morning we had a very great prayer meeting here. But the prayer meetings is not an effort of trying to talk him out of something, but to know him, to be with him, just to talk with him, to be able to have fellowship with such a one. Hallelujah. You know, I've been impressed through the years by the men that have filled that history book, whether they be good or evil. Alexander the Great, Charlemagne, Genghis Khan, the Hitlers that rose up out of the mass of humanity and somehow gained the ascendancy over the rest of us and fill the history books with them. Those people, good or bad, have always been a fascination upon my life. Somehow, something took a hold of them. They were impressed by something. Something became singular in their lives, and this is what drove them to the greatness, whether it worked out in evil or whatever. But their eye became single. There was some single object that they focused upon that drove them. It wasn't a shotgun kind of a life. It was a life geared to a purpose. I can tell you, the Bible said if your eye be single, your body will be full of light. When that Christian born of Christ reaches that point that the total focus of life is Jesus Christ, then that person is moving toward a climax of life of its fullness. No man ever met him without being impressed by him. They were impressed to the point they wanted to kill him. They said, we must do away that evil nature of the human. His worst enemies said, never been a man spoke like this man. Amen. His own. What manner of man is this that even this ocean obeys him? He said to the sea, be calm, it lay down. He said to the storm, go back where you came from. And it left. Friend and foe alike were impressed by him. I can tell you, I stand here this morning because I've been impressed by Christ. The impression that he left. Now, if that is not true of you and me and of the church of God, then we are sadly lacking in the material of the incorruptible. If what we are as a church and as an individual doesn't impress people with something other than this life, then we're lacking in the incorruptible. You hear me this morning? Something lacking, we're sadly lacking. How is it with us? When people meet you and me, when people come into the midst of us as companies of the Lord's people, what is left afterward? What is the impression of their mind? They come into your home. They come sit among us in the church. What is the impress? What do we make upon them? Can we move among them? And that's all there is to it. That is the beginning. That's the end. That's not the incorruptible. That's not the eternal. That's not the abiding. The thing that will appear again in glory forever. If they see us and that's the end of it, then we are not equipped with what we're talking about here, the incorruptible, the eternal, that which is going to abide time and appear again in an eternity to be glorified. This is all that heaven's interested in. There's no standard of measure anywhere with heaven other than the incorruptible. The incorruptible. It was not so with the Lord Jesus. It must not be so with us. People must be able to say there's something more in them than appeared on the surface. Contacting us, our conversation with them. They're sitting among the righteous. There must be this testimony. There's something more to those people than just meets the eye. Amen. They're not the ordinary run of the folk. There's something different about this. There is something in them and about them that makes you know it is that something more that is the ground of the Lord's activity in our lives. Amen. It is that something, that incorruptible something. It is this in us that makes the difference. Amen. Now, the Lord knows where there are people who are looking for something more than this world can give. You believe that? You know, when Jesus came to Samaria, he went first to the well where there was a woman looking for water. I believe there's a great object lesson taught here. If we have the water, the thirsty are going to find us. God knows there's people out there looking for more than religion. And if we have that something extra of life, that incorruptible, if we have that, I said if we have that, then those people are going to find us. If we have that something more than the world can give, something more than they have, the Lord knows where that Saul of Tarsus is, where that Ethiopian eunuch is, where that Cornelius is, marked out, recognized, and hungry, deep down for something more. God knows that. I believe if we face and meet the challenge of seeking God, producing that something extra, then the Mary Magdalenes of this world will find somehow, by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, will find themselves into that realm. Those that are looking for more, not just the religious, but those that are looking for that something extra. The Lord must have it available. Is that right? I said he must have it available. He must have it in Philip. He must have it in Peter. He must have it in Ananias. He must have it in you and me. When Saul is blind and at Damascus, there's a man there by the name of Ananias that the Lord can tap on a shoulder and say, you go down there and lay your hands on. That's something extra. That incorruptible was in him. It must be in Beaumont. It must be in Houston. It must be where you work. That's something extra that the hungry, everybody isn't, but you must have. Why are you here? There's something in you that said, I'm not just wanting a little Sunday morning religion. I want reality. I want that extra that I see in him. There must be those people through which that can be made real. There must be. Amen. He must have it in you and me. That is the incorruptible, the immortal, the eternal factor, so that there's a point of contact made between heaven and lives by means of this heavenly background, this heavenly place in you and I. This is why we're here. We're not here just to go to heaven. We're here that this thing can be in us now. I found it one day in a little Assembly of God church 37 years ago in Alice, Texas. I found this. I never had heard the gospel to recognize it as the gospel. I'm sure, you know, in my dead state that I'd heard, but I never recognized it. But there I found what my poor, thirsty soul had been looking for those many years. I didn't know that's what I was looking for. But it was that extra, that incorruptible, that life that cannot die because it cannot be corrupted. I found it available in a people. God must have that. That extra of heaven. That's the principle of service. There is no other principle. No matter how much you learn, how smart you get, that is the principle of service. You may learn a whole lot if you don't have this. Then you have absolutely of no effect for heaven on this earth unless that extra is there. He must have it in us. You think of the work of the Lord as preaching and singing. You know, we this is what we consider the work of God, preaching, singing, witnessing, etc. But that's not what the Lord thinks about it at all. He thinks about it, what he thinks about is, where can I find something which is an extra that I can use as a ground of bringing about contacts, touching lives? That's evangelization. That is evangelizing. I saw a lot of people do a lot of talking. Been better if they'd have been quiet. Isn't that right? There was nothing about that life that affected anybody. I saw others, there was something about it affected, but what it affected was the wrong way. People of this world that work out there in the community, sometimes business people, they have association with people, preachers even. And that association doesn't lead them to see the incorruptible factor, but a very corrupt factor. All of it in the name of God sometimes. The tragedy. But you see, the only way then that that's overcome, the hurt of that life, is to see that factor of the incorruptible. See that factor that won't sell. That extra with that heavenly background. Amen. That life lived because that there's something in there. Not only was there something more behind Christ, but it was to him an extra world of resources he could draw upon. It was an extra world of knowledge he could draw upon. It was an extra world of relationships, heavenly relationship with the Father and the Spirit, with other intelligences. You know, the Bible says the angel of the Lord encamps about those that fear it. Think about that. You know, this, I'm talking about this life that's in us that is not in people that are not born again. That extra, this incorruptible factor is a world of knowledge to draw upon. It's a world of relationships with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's a relationship with angels. How broad that world gets when we move in this area of what we're calling and what the Bible calls the incorruptible. You know, what is the incorruptible world? It is that which gives the real value of our life here, which says that this is not all. It is that which gives the value to life. Oh, listen. You know, the more I consider this, the more each week as we move toward what God is really saying about it, the more I begin to realize that all the effectiveness of Christianity is here. I mean, we can organize and we can bring a lot of people together, but then there's nothing changed about them. You sit down in a church, you may as well sit down in the Rotary. Isn't that right? I mean, we just study a different catechism, maybe, different rules. But to sit down, and it's just not something taught, but it's what people are. You see, to know truth is one thing, but to be truth is something entirely different. To be this, they took knowledge that they'd been with Christ. Oh my, I ask for nothing greater than that. If you leave this church this morning saying Jesus was real, then this church has served its purpose. If you leave here saying, my, they sang good, or this, that, and the other, and that's all there was to it, then I can tell you, they had a singing down here at the cook-off, and there was some good singing. You could have passed through it, and there wouldn't have been one thing out of heaven there. You would have been degraded, not upgraded, probably for the most part. And if all there is here this morning is somebody does some talking and somebody does some singing, but if you can walk out of here and say, I have been with Jesus. There was something there in that place from heaven. It wasn't just what man can do, but there was another world present there. I felt my heart came in contact. There was a relationship there. Some beings that don't make their residence on this earth, they're outside of what I see. The knowledge that we possess, the knowledge that this world possesses, which is available to us, comes to a point where it can no longer help us. Have you ever been there? I said, have you ever been there? When the knowledge you possess, and all the knowledge that the world possesses, reaches a point where it can't help you? Oh, yes, sir. Well, is there anything beyond? That's the key, isn't it? I've been there. Nothing I had, or nothing that this world possessed that is available could help me. But have we, you and I, something beyond? Is there a realm of knowledge which is beyond and above what this world has? Do we possess that something extra when that poor human being has run out the end of things? The doctor says to him in a physical sense, there is no help. You're going to die. Are you going to be this way always? Have we as parents, is there, when we reach that point, that they tell you that that child cannot be helped? When you've exhausted all help financially and otherwise of the world, do we have something beyond that? Can we look them in the eye and say, God can help you? There is something to lift you up. Hallelujah. That's what I'm talking about. That's the extra. Amen. When all the psychologists and all the psychiatrists with their drugs and their counsel have reached the end and say it's a hopeless situation, can we step in and say there is something? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is a help, and we have that help. It's available right here. That's the key. That's why the church exists. That's why we're here. Amen. There is no other reason. You know, is there a realm of knowledge which is beyond? How much more real that must be to us and our consciousness? When I've come to an end of my resources, not knowing so far as this world is concerned which way to turn, but I have another world to draw upon, a very real world, and that world can come right into my situation. How many of you ever been there? Listen, you prayed it through. How many? Listen, when they said to you, can't help you. Can't do anything about it. If you don't have this, you fall apart. But there's another world you can draw upon. There's another resource you can draw upon. As many as touched him were made ever with whole. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, let me tell you, don't ever knock us out. I went into a place in Houston years ago. I was there in a church in revival many years ago, and they called us to pray for a lady that had cancer. She had a large rose cancer that come on her face, and the thing was so big. You look from that size, that's all you can see. And now she's a dying. The stench in the home couldn't be covered with all the sprays. But when I arrived there, wife and I, a lady met us at the door. The lady's in the back room that's with the cancer. And this lady said to me, there, she has no other hope but God. Everything is gone. Amen. She has no hope but God. As if that's a last straw. Isn't that pitiful? She whispered that to me so the lady back there couldn't hear it. And I whispered in her ear. She said, God.
God is the only hope she has. I said, God is the only hope she needs. That in the last resort. But I am telling you, when the M.D. Anderson says it's over with, there's another world, there's another source, there's another power, there's another world. Hallelujah! We can touch God. Oh, I feel good about him this morning. I come down here early. He's still in here this morning early. Oh, hallelujah. When that devil says it's over with, don't count me out. I said, don't count me out. Amen. He knock you down. Take that mandatory 8 count. Get up again. Shake yourself. There's another world. I said, there's another world. There's angels standing around us. The angel of the Lord encamps about them that fear him. The Holy Ghost is in me. Amen. God is that world. This is what I'm talking about. That extra. There's something else to draw on. Oh my. Sorrow not is those that have no hope. There's a hope beyond everything and anything that men know about. When that happens, it's just as we are living out from heaven, out from our extra, that things will partake of the character of the eternal, and that into this life will come the imperishable, so that there's something in that solved problem which not just results of human effort, but the divine intervention and undertaking of heaven. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Something. You know, that's happened to you. That's happened to me on occasions. I had those heart attacks, 35 years old. Amen. All over with. I couldn't preach, couldn't do nothing. Didn't want to live if I couldn't preach. I didn't want to be a preacher. But already had started on that road. Don't know as I've become one yet. But I was called to be. But oh, listen. That night, 3 o'clock in the morning, that extra came in. Hallelujah. I knew if I went to a doctor, I'd die. Got nothing against doctors. But I knew if I went to him, I'd die. Amen. There was no hope there. I knew that. Amen. But that night, 3 o'clock in the morning, that extra came in. That hand reached through that rib cage. Squeezed that heart once. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Took a physical examination. Just got through with it a month or 6 weeks ago. When he had run through me with a fine-tooth comb, he said, you got a heart like an athlete. Amen. Why not? He made it whole just a few years ago. When man give up, when man give out, when all the resources of earth was over, then that extra factor, that incorruptible heaven took over. There's another world to call on, is what I'm telling you. You discouraged this morning, that's because you're looking to a world that the resources run out as far as you're concerned. Amen. That's right. You're looking toward a world whose resources have run out. But I'm telling you about a world that lives in us, that the resources cannot be overtaxed. Hallelujah. That's the incorruptible. And God is always seeking it, seeking to have it like that. Now the difference, once more, not only a background and an extra, but a difference. This extra factor, a difference. Looking at the Lord Jesus, speaking as men speak, we could say that this man was governed by different standards, by different conceptions, by different ideas than anything here. Is that right? He is governed by a whole different standard than anything around here. I'll tell you that. You just look at his life, everything about him, different ideas. Life didn't mean to him what it means to people that don't live like he lived. Here it's a dog-eat-dog kind of a thing, and the whole world is to get what you can what you get. But he had a long look. Amen. His was an eternal value. He was governed by different ideas, controlled by different laws, moved in a different realm. Yet he put his feet right here on this earth, breathed this air that you and I breathe. Amen. But was governed by an entirely different concept. His conduct was different from the usual conduct of people, from the accepted and established order of things. His was a different realm. Hallelujah. He had another world with an altogether different set of conceptions, and he acted according to them and was governed by them, and that made him strange among us. What kind of man is this? Never a man spoke like that. Where'd this man get such learning? Isn't this that carpenter's boy from down there in Nazareth? Don't we know his brothers and sisters? They act like we do. What's different about this man? Something about him. Hallelujah. Nobody ever came that wasn't impressed by him. You walk where he was, you went away shaking your head. The religious said, we got to kill him. Caesar got frightened at him. All of them, he impressed. Others closed the shop, locked the door. Somebody else can collect taxes. I'm heading out with him. Luke says, I found a better doctor than I'll ever be. I'm going with him. Peter said, this fishing's been profitable for me. I'm going with this one. Hallelujah. There's something different about him. I tell you, nobody else could have walked along and said, follow me. And they'd have left them fishing nets, closed up them offices, and moved out with him. But he passed by. Immediately, something inside said something different about this man. He passed my life 37 years ago, and I said, I'm going where he goes, say what he says, do what he does. My life is going to be governed by his attitude toward life. Woo!
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Failed along the trail, but I sad when I did, and the loser because of it. I said the loser because of it. But the aspiration is to follow him. Not what I can get out of him, but that's the kind of a man I want to be. Hallelujah. That's the kind of a person I want to be. I want to live like he lived. How do I dream? That song is so rich to me. I'm going to live the way God wants me to live. How does he want me to live? Just like that man that come along and said to me, come follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. Hallelujah. It was those very heavenly standards and conceptions which were the incorruptible things. It was those things. The world's way of going on leads to corruption. At their very fullest, highest, greatest, they lead to corruption. No matter how much you learned here, as far as this world is concerned, no matter how great you have become or may become, it leads to corruption. I can tell you they're going to bury you, and all of your ideas are going to be buried with you. Yes, sir. Men are going to fuss over what you saved. Yes, sir. Your family is going to be divided over your will for 99% of the time. It leads to corruption. Spend your time, spend your life to gain this world's goods, and they ain't no U-Haul trailers on a hearse. It's all over with there. I mean, at the end of this line, that leads to corruption. But that other factor of life, live for that. That'll appear again. That'll be glorified. It's right there. I said it's right there. That's the end of the world's wisdom, corruption. His ideas did not work out that way. We know quite well that this way is not corruption. This, according to my text, is life and incorruption. Hallelujah. Life and incorruption. Let us be very careful that we don't seek to be like men here. If we do, we forfeit the essential ingredient of the new birth. If we seek to be like men here on this earth, then we forfeit that essential ingredient of the new birth. Paul in our text says to Timothy, be not ashamed, therefore, of the testimony of thy Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but suffer hardships with the gospel according to the power of God. Why this? Be not ashamed. For shame, we try to be on good terms with the world. We're ashamed to be otherwise. Be not ashamed. You know what he's saying? Don't try to be on good terms with this world. If they won't accept you like you are as a Christian, then let them be the problem. Don't. It is shame that keeps us from standing up what we are. It is shame that makes us act like the devil so that they won't think we're different. He said, be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Amen. If you do, you forfeit this incorruptible ingredient. You lose it. Be not ashamed. We're ashamed to be otherwise. We think we'll lose influence if we do not come into line and be well met with everyone. What a deception. We just simply throw the real values overboard. Isn't that right? If we let this world influence because we're ashamed, they're not ashamed. They'll tell you of their conquests over the weekend. They'll blow that beer breath in your face and tell you what a good time they're supposed to have. And yet, we're meek as a lamb, want to be on good terms with them. We think that we lose influence if we really stand up in this incorruptible factor. All we do is lose the real values. See how it worked out with Jesus? It worked out in contacts. But listen, without connections. I said it worked out in contacts, without connections. Those that came to him, those that he contacted, there was no connection. He owed nobody nothing but the gospel. Amen. He just laid it on the line. He was in contact with people. He was with things, but there's no connection. He associated himself at a marriage, a funeral, a feast, and the rest. But there was no compromise because there was no connection. Hallelujah. He went to all of it, but no compromise. It was not kept formally. You belong there, and I belong here. It was something spiritual. He associated. It was a charge laid against him that he was a friend of publicans and sinners. Matthew 2:19. He associated. But he was not a publican or a sinner. That's the difference, isn't it? I said, that's the difference. He contacted, but he wasn't that. Amen. His contact was there. He couldn't save him. But he wasn't. Hallelujah. He wasn't a publican, and he wasn't a sinner. Amen. It was that relationship with heaven, that extra, that other which kept him incorruptible. It is all summed up in one phrase of his. I am not of this world. Let me tell you something. Long as I keep it that way, I won't commit adultery. I won't steal nothing. I won't cheat no man. Not even Uncle Sam on the income tax. No, sir. If I keep it in that line, that incorruptible, I walk in that. That's an incorruptible life. He that sinneth is of the devil. When a Christian sins, he's moved to the wrong side of himself. That which is born of God cannot sin. Didn't say it would not. Cannot sin. Hallelujah. 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 God cannot lie. God cannot steal. God cannot commit adultery. God cannot do those things. And as I walk in that Holy Ghost, in that incorruptible life, I will not fulfill the lust of the desires of the flesh. If you sit here this morning and you sinned, it's because you reverted back to type. That's where it's at. And if you stay there, you're going to go to hell. Got to repent. Walk in this. Hallelujah. There was never another one who so fulfilled and filled his time, seeing the things, carrying the burden of other people's lives, but at the same time so marked by detachment. I want you to hear this. There was never another species of humanity that come this way that so filled his time, seeing the things, touching lives, saving people, ministering to the burdens of other people's lives, yet at the same time so marked by detachment. He could deal with a woman taken in adultery, but totally detached. There's no adultery in him. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. God says that factor is in us. I can live in this world, not be of this world. I can live here and be right. I don't have to be put in a glass house. No, sir, it's not a thing of environment. It is in me. Hallelujah. Keep me wherever I am. Keep you wherever you are. There was something there that made him different, that still made him kind of an outsider, and everybody knew it. The Christian life in the New Testament is clearly shown to be heavenly in every aspect. Listen to it. Heavenly in birth, born from above. Heavenly in substance, heavenly in consummation, in translation or rapture. Heavenly in vocation, heavenly in calling. The Christian life is shown to be that in every aspect of it. The Holy Spirit coming down from heaven has not come to make us successful in this world. I'm sick of success seminars. Amen. He didn't come to do that. Thank God if you do well, it's because if you do well in a spiritual sense, it's because God sees that it's going to be able to flow through you to the gospel. Otherwise, it's just your covetousness that did that. Amen. But if God makes you, but God, the Holy Spirit, didn't come down here just to make us successful in this world. He came down to reconstitute me and you as a heavenly people. Then one day when translate us to heaven. But I'm not going to be a heavenly person when I get to heaven. I'm a heavenly person on this earth. That's the reason I can live right. Isn't that wonderful? I know some of you believe that. Not going to be spiritual when I get there, or heavenly when I get there. I'm heavenly now, that's the reason I'm going there. If I'm not heavenly now, I'm not going there any day. Only heavenly people are going to heaven. Amen. Let us follow through again and ask ourselves this question. When I have met, or when I meet others, when I've gone through this world, in my business, in my social, my domestic contacts, in my religious activities, I have come, I have gone. Is that all there is to it? Once you've come and gone, do they remember that it wasn't just a shout or an emotional upheaval? But there was a fragrance left that said there's something different about these folks that touch me today. And that something other is heaven. Hallelujah. Lift your hands.